Aleluia, aleluia, aleluia. And you may be seated. The Lord bless you. It is a distinct honor for me to have a small part in this, what I believe will soon be called the greatest of conferences that we have had the privilege to attend. Amen. I'm very sorry that the dates of this conference, they conflict with the Texas District Board meetings, but I felt that I should attend, not because I was asked to speak, but because I have a deep seated desire to see God move on our behalf as I know God can and will move on our behalf. Because Christianity is not mythology. Christianity is not dead history. Christianity is not a cold ceremony. It is not a religious ritual. But Christianity is alive. Hallelujah. We live because He lives. Amen. And He is in this sanctuary tonight. Praise God. I will speak to you from my heart. I see so many of you here that I love and I appreciate. Matter of fact, I love all of the brethren, whether I know you or not personally. I almost feel intimidated, were it not for the anointing, to stand before this crowd and then to think of all these wonderful and very capable ministers that are behind me. But I pray that it would not be me that is speaking tonight. And I pray that I have prayed sufficiently that God will take the service over and that we will not hear Kershaw but the voice of the Spirit. Now I believe the Spirit has something to say to us tonight. And not only tonight, but throughout this entire convention. God has something specific for us. And I have spoken to many of my peers, and to younger men and older men. And I have felt their heart throb. And I have felt their deep-seated desires. I believe that every one of us desire revival. We want the genuine visitation of the Spirit of God. But I'm not talking about revival that comes for a few days, that is under the influence of oratory and personality. But I am talking about revival that God wants us to have continuously. When I think of the scripture that we have quoted so often, that if my people that are called by my name, when I think of the setting that scripture was made under and during, I did not realize till lately that scripture was pronounced or announced after the dedication of the temple and after the mighty visitation that Israel and Solomon enjoyed. And I can see Solomon now going home, propping his feet on the table, saying to himself, didn't we have a mighty service tonight? And while he was enjoying in reminiscing about the Sunday night service, God spoke to him. And he says, if you want to maintain such services, hallelujah. It was for the maintaining of revival. It was not for starting revival, but it was for keeping revival. Hallelujah. And I challenge every one of us that we will have a desire that should we begin revival, that our desire will never diminish, but some way, somehow, that we will have the desire that will help us maintain a continuous revival in our midst. Praise God. Now, I'm not going to preach long tonight, but I'm going to preach. Of course, it depends on how you define long. We all have different interpretations and definitions. But I definitely feel God in this place. And I pray that we do not gauge this convention by the presence of God and the anointing and the different sermons that we hear, but I pray that we apply what we hear to our lives and leaving here not caring who might have preached the best, but leaving here feeling a change in our heart. Hallelujah. For we are in no competition. I can't preach like these gentlemen. And they thank their God that they can't preach like me. Hallelujah. But I want to leave this place infused with the power of God. I want to leave here changed, motivated, desirous to see God move like He has never moved before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Psalms 141, the second verse, he says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Then we will go to Exodus chapter 30 and reading verses 34 and 38. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it, very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. it shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. There is something about David. He seemed to know how to properly and adequately describe his innermost feelings. And as far as I know, Psalms 141 and the second verse is the only scripture in the Old Testament that definitely indicates the typical meaning of incense, where it is used in the tabernacle and the temple service. It was God's beautiful picture of prayer. I must confess to you today, I believe in complete honesty. When I stand behind this pulpit, I do not want to leave the idea that I have been a great prayer warrior. To my sorrow, to my shame, I have not been what the Word of God describes as a great warrior in prayer. But something has been happening to me. And that certain something has not begun to take place just a few days ago or just a few weeks ago, but it has been working on me for a long period of time. And I believe the initiation began during the first conference of Because of the Times. And I heard many stirring messages. And then when Sister Mangan spoke on prayer, it devastated me. And I felt that God was speaking to me only. And I felt as though I was the only person in the congregation, that I was alone. And from that day, I have had a troubling desire. It has troubled me. It has troubled me because I did not grasp the vision and the desire to pray earlier in my ministry. And I thought about the lost opportunities and the lost privileges and the lost blessings and maybe the lost souls, because my ministry was not anointed with prayer as it should have been. Now, I'm not telling you that I never did pray, but I'm telling you that I have a desire not only to pray, but I want to be saturated with prayer. Hallelujah. I want to be immersed in prayer. Hallelujah. I want prayer to be as my breath. I want prayer to dominate my thoughts. I want prayer to dominate my life. As I wake up, I want to be engulfed and overshadowed with the anointing of God.
And I want prayer to dominate my thoughts from the moment that I wake up till I lay my head down to sleep. Hallelujah.
We are so fearful of many things. I traveled with a man that was saved the same time I was saved. And I traveled in the Middle East with him. And of course, in the Middle East, 90% of the Arab world is Muslim. And I have seen him wake up in the morning before he would say, "I love you, Jesus," he would start singing. Not in English, not in Arabic, not in Hebrew, but in tongues. And my Pentecostal raising said, "Blasphemy." Because I have been taught that I have to go to God first in repentance. Forgive me, God, for breathing.
That's it.
Forgive me, God. My coat is too loud. Forgive me, God. I put too much hairspray on my hair. I have been taught the importance of the insignificant until I overlooked the significant. Hallelujah. But I realize that a man can be so immense and so saturated in prayer that when you open up your eyes, you can start talking in that heavenly language. Hallelujah to God. We had a lady in the Longview church that the Spirit of God came upon her. And she began to sing in tongues. And you should have seen our congregation. What is this? That's not God. Blasphemy. And the poor darling was in contact. And the rest of us were out of contact. Something different happened in our services. We were supposed to sing about 3 songs and testify about how the devil has been giving us a hard time all day long. And then we were ready to hear a message of condemnation. Oh, you've been a dirty dog all week long. You've got fleas on you. God, we have condemned people that are coming to our churches for hell. They are under self-condemnation anyhow. They need a lifting up. They need to feel the presence of God like they've never felt it before. Hallelujah. We are so fearful of some scriptures. Jesus himself said, "I come into the world not to condemn the world." Hallelujah. Praise God. We have taken things that we don't like and we've made them convictions. And there are no more convictions than the man in the moon. And we've taken things that we've liked and we've made them convictions. And they are not convictions. It's your likes and dislikes. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, Brother Mangan, both the Mangans, senior and junior, said, "Don't worry about your reputation. Just preach the word." I I sometimes wish I did have the intelligence to worry about my reputation. I have always failed in that area. Praise God. But in Exodus, I'm just the first speaker and I'm not going to preach past 10 o'clock. But in Exodus, we're talking about prayer. And the reason I'm talking about prayer, because I want revival. And I appreciate all of our programs. Every one of them, I appreciate them. There's good in every one of our programs. But hear me now. There is no church that will ever have revival without prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone said, I used to pray for 15 minutes. Now I read a book that teaches me how to pray for an hour. And it breaks the hour into 12 5-minute segments. I'd have a stiff neck looking at my watch. Hallelujah. But let us look at this sweet-smelling perfume that was supposed to be taken to the altar of incense, or sometimes called the golden altar. When I think of the altar of incense, first of all, I want you to know this one thing. It was made out of acacia wood, which means incorruptible wood. Secondly, it was covered with gold, which means purity. Thirdly, it had horns, which means power. Hallelujah. If we come to God with an incorruptible conscience, and let me tell you something, you hear me now, God bless you, I love every one of you, it makes no difference how long we all have been in the church, let me tell you what we need more than anything else before prayer and before revival. We need an old-fashioned time of repentance. Hallelujah. I need to find me an altar somewhere and repent of everything that is in my life that is unlike God, so I can enter into His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard David Wilkerson preach. I know he doesn't have the truth altogether. But he said, if you pray with sin in your life, you are inviting judgment. And if you pray without sin in your life, and the only way you can pray without sin in your life is when you go to God in repentance first. Then he says, you are creating a shield from judgment. Hallelujah to God. Now I want to tell you something. We need to repent. Hallelujah. We need to repent of our carnality, our carnal minds, our dependency on our own abilities and our own reasoning powers. We need to repent. Hallelujah. I've got to hurry along. These four ingredients are very interesting. You should go home and look into your Bible dictionary and see how beautiful these are. The four ingredients that made the beautiful perfume that God loved to smell. He loves for us to pray. But what kind of a prayer? It's very important to realize tonight what kind of a prayer God loves to smell or God loves to hear. First is stati. And stacte is an aromatic gum which exudes from the pierced trunk of a shrub. They found that particular shrub, they pierced the trunk of that shrub, and stacte came out. And as I read that and looked at the Bible dictionary, I thought, God, that means suffering. Suffering. And I've always wondered at the Apostle Paul, who suffered more for the gospel than Paul, next to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I carry in my body the marks. And then when we read his autobiography of all of the terrible incidents in his life, and then when he is through, he says, these were light afflictions. And he says, I want to know him. What? You want to know him? You've been to the third heaven. You are inquiring about knowing Jesus? You've walked the streets of heaven. You've heard angels speak. You understood what you heard. Jesus spoke to you personally on the way to Damascus. And then you have the audacity to tell me that you want to know him? Where does that place me? Paul, you want to know him, yes. You know why? Because God is so great. The magnitude of God is never comprehended by mental limitations of man. It is impossible. In other words, I don't care how much you know him, you'll never know him in his extent and in his greatness. God is so great. And then he says, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Oh Lord, I had to rebuke myself the other day. Something came on me and I decided to fast 7 days. That doesn't happen very often. So I started on a Thursday. Thursday was my last day. And I fasted Friday, Saturday, preached twice on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The sixth day, I could hardly get out of bed. Oh man, I was weak. And something jumped into my mind. You're suffering for Christ's sake. And I let that stay in my mind one split second. And I said, get thee behind me, Satan. This is no suffering. 6 day a week. And then I was talking to somebody. And that somebody knew I was fasting. And he said, you need to break your fast. And then here comes my flesh. And he says, why can't I fast when I'm hurting as well as when I'm feeling well? And I thought to myself, hypocrite. You really think you're doing something big? I'm trying to destroy what I was doing to gain more of the God that I love. Hallelujah. And I thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the olive tree. And the Roman soldier at his side. And in my mind's eye, I can see the branch stuck in that wound. And we were grafted in. Hallelujah. 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 And we were grafted in through suffering, through bleeding, through dying. And there is a lost world that is awaiting to be grafted in. Hallelujah.
And it will only come through prayer that knows how to go into the fellowship of His suffering. I tell you, friend, it's time that I've learned. I haven't learned yet. But it's time for me to learn how to go to Gethsemane and to share with His agony. I want to learn how to pray until blood pops out of my pores. I want to learn how to pray until I will yield myself completely to God. Not my will, not my desires, not my thoughts, not my wants. Anything you want, God, I want to do it. Hallelujah. I want to do it. I need to learn to pray like that. I haven't arrived. But something tells me I'm going to arrive. I'm going to make it, Anthony. By the help of God, I'm going to have the revival. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. If I'm going to have it by myself, I'm going to have it. Hallelujah. 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 He was bruised for our iniquities and stacked He came out. A portion of our prayer life. You've got to have that. Brother Urshan mentioned something last night when we spoke at the house that every preacher has to suffer. Before you enjoy the true privileges of the ministry. But now God take me to where I can go to Gethsemane. Take me, God. And somehow, let not my prayer be futile. Let not my prayer be idle words. Let not my prayer life be clock watching. But somehow, let me pour myself out with a burden. Hallelujah.
What'll happen?
Until stacked flows out of my life. Hallelujah. The next thing was Anika. It was a sea life. It lived in the bottom of the sea in deep waters. And the shell of the Anika had sweet-smelling perfume. And the divers had to go in into deep waters. Now, I don't know if you know much about swimming. I was raised just a few miles from the Mediterranean Ocean. And my cousins were raised right on the shores of the oceans. If you been to Jaffa, what they call now Joppa, which is supposedly a part of Tel Aviv, you will notice there are three rocks, and they are the first rock is a mile in, the second rock is another mile, and the third rock is 3 miles away from shore. And we used to swim to the third rock. We were kids. I remember one day I went when I shouldn't have gone. I wasn't feeling good. But I made it to the third rock. But when I did make it to the third rock, I was 3 miles out and I became ill. And I tried to rest on the rock, reaching for the rock, but it was so covered with slime that the wave would come and knock me off and I would be scratched all over. And a desperation hit me. When your life is at stake, friend, there is a desperation that comes upon you. And I thought to myself, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to jump back in that water. I don't care how deep it is. And I'm going to swim to shore. And I would get tired. And in my mind, I tried to see, you know how I'd slow down and see if I can touch bottom. But bottom was way down. It was over my head.
I had to swim. Hallelujah. I had to swim. I could not. There was nothing I could rest on. There wasn't a rock. There was nothing. Nothing but deep water. And friend, a desperation hit me, and I had to swim. And what does David say? From the bottom of the deep cried I unto thee. You know what he was saying? I was in such deep waters. There was no rock. I couldn't touch bottom. I had to float. And I realized I couldn't float unless you helped me. Hallelujah. That was a desperate prayer. That was a desperate prayer. Now I can do all I can for myself. And oh my God, what kind of a prayer that is. That's a carnal prayer. We pray for the things that we know we can do. But there comes a time in our life when we are overwhelmed. We are in deep water. We are over our head. Hallelujah to God. And there is no way out. Only way out is a desperate cry to the God that you know can and will help you. Hallelujah. Woo. I walked out of there. I was all scratches. But I had my life. And that's all I cared about. Huh. And you know what? We brag on Hannah so much. It dawned on me the other day. That wasn't the first time that darling went to the temple. She went there every year. And it got to the place to where she couldn't stand the shame no more. She was without children. The other one was favored. The other one had an altar full of new converts. The other one had revival. The other one was having babies. Hallelujah. But she was going to church, you know. Oh, how I love Jesus. Did-up, 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 dum-dum. I tell you, I love the Lord, folks. God is so great. Hallelujah. Preach, 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 preach. A little too long, but not too loud. Hallelujah. And while the preacher's preaching, I wonder, where are we going to go out to eat tonight? And somebody's in the altar? Nobody cares. They can die and go to hell. Oh, I never make such a statement. Your actions tell me. Hallelujah. Pardon me for being so explicit. But that's the only way I know to preach. Hallelujah. Oh, we have saints that, oh, they can criticize so quickly. Did you see the colored dress she had on? And that hat. They don't match. And the sleeves are 1/32nd of an inch too short. And I tell you, I'm not sure. But I almost believe that she has messed with her hair. I know he did. Hallelujah. Oh, I know I'm walking on eggshells, but I don't give a rip. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know how to criticize. We know how to eyeball people. We know how to measure people's holiness. But we don't have a burden. We don't know how to pray in the altars. We don't have the love of God for lost and dying humanity. Hallelujah. You won't go and visit them? No, you won't. It'll take 15 minutes of your time. And mostly what you're doing is watching television, most likely, at the neighbor's house. And telling the neighbor you don't believe in television. Hallelujah. Oh, double standards. Oh, double standards. Oh, double standards. Give me a saint that knows how to pray.
Give me a saint to stay in the altar till the last person is in the altar. Give me somebody that will love somebody else. Give me somebody that cares about someone else's soul.
When you're ready for me to sit down, just pull my coattail. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We send people to hell as if it, what we say means anything to God. You can send people to hell all you want to. It don't mean they're going there. Praise God. You don't even have the authority to do so. But some of you, your mouth is in gear, and all it says is hell. They're going to hell. They're going to hell. They're going to hell. What about some tears if they're going to hell? What about praying over them?
Come on.
What about some fasting? What about some love? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But once she got ashamed, and I'm getting ashamed. I'm getting ashamed. You can say they're having young'uns by compromise all you want to. We have hid behind that word so much until it stinks in the nostrils of God. To make myself feel good, he's a compromiser. To make myself feel good, he don't preach all the truth. I don't care if he preaches God has seven noses and eight eyes. If they're running 10,000, they're doing something. I don't mean they're saved. I mean they're working. I mean they're caring. I mean they're praying. They're doing something. But I'm being so lazy to make myself feel good while I'm drinking my coffee at the coffee shop. I say they're compromisers. Hallelujah to God. So, God, she was so embarrassed, she decided, I'll tell you what, next time I'm going to the temple, I'm going to have me a prayer meeting. Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Woo! I'm going to have me a prayer meeting. And I don't mean I lay me down to sleep. And I don't mean 5 minutes of praise, 5 minutes of thankfulness, 5 minutes for a lost world, 5 minutes for the saints. 5 minutes to forgive me of my sins. Oh my God. Hallelujah. That darling began to pray. And she began to pray until the carnal preacher.
Maybe
I better get to the platform right now. My. A carnal preacher. Woman, you're drunk. My God. Didn't even recognize what she was doing. Are we standing behind pulpits as the ministers of God and not recognizing spirituality in the lives of our saints? Let me tell you something. If you want revival, it starts in the pulpit by the preacher. If you have no revival in your church, it's not the saints. It's not the deacons. It's not that woman that's giving you a lot of trouble. It's not the gossiper. It's not the devil. No! You are responsible for revival as the man of God. You are responsible. You will have what you ask for. Hallelujah to God. It's nobody's fault but mine. Hallelujah. Don't say St. Louis don't give us direction anymore. Since when St. Louis is supposed to pastor your church? St. Louis has no desire to pastor your church. They just want to take a group of ministers and as a united effort, do more for God. That's all they're interested in. My mother-in-law, I wish she wasn't living with me. That ought to make you pray more. He'll outfit you. That's a good excuse to get out of the house and go to the prayer room.
My God, have mercy.
Monica, deporters. And the best example I know of a desperate prayer is when the Apostle Peter all of a sudden began to sink. And he says that the sweet-smelling perfume has to come when the branch is cut and bruised, and then from a cry of desperation. Peter knew he couldn't know where to stand. He was in too deep a water. And he looked around, and the boat was too far. I know the Apostle Peter thinks just like I do. He thought, my God, I'm sinking. How far is the boat? I'll swim to the boat. Go ahead and laugh, because that's what you would have done.
No, the most of us wouldn't have got out.
That's the truth. But if we were dumb enough to got out.
Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah. And you know what's the matter with all of us, including myself? God is coming into our nest and taking soft things out of our nest. And God is gouging us. But we don't have, I hate to use the word I want to use that's in my mind, but I use the nice word, we don't have courage to say, God, if that's you, let me come on here and start walking on the water. Hallelujah. You know why? Because we want agreement and not disagreement. I don't want somebody saying, Kershaw's going crazy. Kershaw is nuts. His church is growing, but he's a compromiser. I don't want to hear those words. So I want to play it safe. I'll stay in the ship with the rest of the doubters. Hallelujah. Oh, peer pressure.
I'm doing my best, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I worry what Brother Kilgore thinks about me. I love him too much for him not to have the correct thoughts towards me. I love Brother Urshan so much. I believe he is God's man for the United Pentecostal Church. And I want him to have the right thoughts towards me.
I love this man. His prayer life, his leadership. My God, the fruits of his labor. I love all of these men on this platform. All the preachers in this congregation. I'm concerned. Maybe too much so. Maybe to a fault. Maybe to a sin. Because it's keeping me from doing what God is telling me. Come on, get up, boy. Get up! So you step on the water. And this guy starts gouging. Look at that nut. You better be careful now, son. My God, you know what you're doing? You're walking away from safety, buddy. You'll now lose your paycheck. Look out. You may, hey Kershaw, you may have to trade your Mercedes back for a camel. You know what you say, huh? Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. But friend, I believe God is talking to a bunch of us. I believe God is speaking to a bunch of us. I believe it's time to step out of the ship. Not away from the Lord Jesus Christ, but towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, oh God. Towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Where He is, there is safety. There is revival where Jesus is. There is healing where Jesus is. There is deliverance where Jesus is. Everything that we need is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
It's all in Him. We've sang that all of our lives. But all I could think about was oneness. Oh, don't you believe in it? Hey, bud. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be here. Remember that. Hallelujah. But when you get in water over your head, and there's it's too deep, no bottom anywhere, and you know that your own strength isn't going to last very long, you're playing out. Oh, Peter, I know he did everything he could. I bet he sat there and he just treaded water. He looked all around, looked at Jesus, said, "Oh my God, I won't look at him no more. Every time I look at him, he's demanding more of me. Get thee behind me, Jesus. Leave me alone." Then all of a sudden he realized, hey, if I'm going to survive, I need him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says, if you want your prayer to be sweet-smelling perfume, it better be a prayer of desperation. Realize it is not by might, neither is it by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hiloromo kandaramaya shatayamaha.
By my Spirit.
I'm coming to a close. Then the last one is galbanum. And that grows on the mountains of Lebanon. And it's above the snow line. It's above the snow line. In other words, it's mountaintop privileges. Mountaintop privileges. Let me ask you, how do we get to the mountaintop? How do we go beyond the mist of this earth? We have the most beautiful privilege to do so, and that is by the most accessible tool that God has ever given the church, and that's worship. Worship. I go berserk sometimes in Pentecostal churches. We're mostly Pentecostals here, so let's talk about ourselves. If you don't like it, too bad. All right, let's go. And you're sitting. What is this wedding about? We sing that song every time we go to church. And here we go. And then you get so full. I'm talking about you get so full, and next thing you know, I've heard some screams in our churches that curdle my blood. And I've been in Pentecost 100 years. And I've read the Bible at least half the time. Never find screaming anywhere for worship.
Never.
Wait a minute. If I've been in a church 100 years, then you're scaring me. What are you doing to my poor visitor? I've corrected my church. There's no screaming now. But in the meantime, I was a booger bear. I was carnal. I didn't like worship. And then why is it that we have to sit there and sit and we fill you full of the power of God and we sing and we sing and we sing until you can't take it no more? Then you go, wow! You knock someone's false teeth out. You give somebody a black eye. We go home saying, bless God, I had a black eye. We had a wonderful service. Hallelujah, I broke my leg. I was running down the aisle and I hit a wall. But a few, is that worship?
No, that's not worship.
Nah. We sat there and we fought worship for so long until we got so full that we couldn't handle it no more. And the only way we did was to go berserk. Now, you said preach what you want to, didn't you? But I'm taking you at your word. And I'll tell you one thing right now. One of the most beautiful worship churches in America is my church. You can ask the tenants. They just preached for me. Just ask Brother Becton. He preached for me last weekend. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you the gospel truth. The Mangans have relatives in my church. They know. Why is it that we can't sit in church from the first word go and the choruses begin to be sung? Why can't we begin to worship? Hallelujah. Why do we have to ignore it to the last minute? Then explode and scare people half to death and wonder why they're going to come back. Yeah, we're up in the mountains now. If you don't have enough oxygen, you better come down. Hallelujah. And he said, now, I want you to take those four ingredients. Frankincense, that's pure incense. And I should preach on that. Holiness. Now, when I said the word holiness, you know what your mind jumped on? Sleeves and hair. Come on now. The minute I said holiness, you looked at my hair. Is it touching his ear? Is it? Now, let me see. I believe it's 1/64th of an inch might be touching. I went and got a trim today. I still don't know I had one, but it's all right. And there's nothing wrong with outward. I'm not decrying outward holiness. God forbid that I would ever live enough to be that stupid. But we have not understood holiness correctly. We have made hypocrites out of our people. They hide and do things that we preach against. We've made hypocrites and Pharisees out of them. Because all we did was major on do's and don'ts instead of telling them that there is a God in heaven that can live in their heart, that can give them the power to live above sin. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Hey, the word, are we a disciple? Are you a disciple? What word is it derived from? Discipline. But our people are not disciplined. You know how our people are used to? They're used to this now. You can take 10 steps to here and you can't go any farther. But they do their dead level best to stick their foot over what you told them not to go to. We have placed limitations. We took our people back under the law again. You know what we've made out of them? Let me rephrase. Let me tell you what I've made out of them. Maybe you're different, and I hope you are. But we come to church on Sunday, and man, we have a roaring time, a wonderful time. And let's call that a fix. They get their fix, they feel high. Here comes Monday. We didn't teach them to pray every day. So now here's Wednesday. No prayer on Monday. No prayer Tuesday. No Bible reading. No witnessing. No personal relationship with God whatsoever. And they can barely drag in on Wednesday. We've heard them testify. My God, I need my fix quick. Quick! Oh my God. How much is it? $5 an ounce? Hurry up. Please. Here's my tithes. Hurry up. Give me a fix. I gotta have the fix. So we give him a fix on Wednesday night.
Woo! Thursday, they're still feeling good. No prayer. No Bible reading. No witnessing. No fasting. You know why they don't show up on Sunday morning? They're wore out. They're not interested in Bible study on Sunday morning. They don't want no Bible study. They want a fix. We Pentecostals brag that Sunday night is our best night. You know why? They want a fix. Yeah. Come on, sing first. Come on, shout. Come on, choir. Oh, yeah. Wonderful. I have been guilty of not telling my people that after Sunday night, if you want to keep what you've got, then you'll pray, and then you'll fast, and then you'll read your Bible. You must maintain your salvation. We don't live from one fix to the other. We live from day to day. Hallelujah. We live every minute. Hallelujah. The Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We've got to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah, oh God. If I've hurt your feelings, I'm tickled to death. If I've crossed your doctrine, I'm hilarious. Hallelujah.
Thank you for your word.
Hallelujah. The mountaintops of privilege. You see, I want to live in such a way that when it's time for mountaintop experience, Jesus will say, Kershaw, come on. Come go with me. Come on, Kershaw. I want you to go. He only chose three.
Just three.
Whew. Those three were closer even in Gethsemane to him. Do you know that? Do you know that? He says, come on. I'm going to show you something. Whew. And in worship, I promise you, in worship, you can have that mountaintop experience. Hallelujah. I heard an old man, I forget his name now, an old man that preached in Dallas, Brother Tenney, what's his name? I see that Raven Hill, I see that, I say respectfully an old man. Where I come from, saying old man or old woman is no disgrace. It's respectful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I forgot what I was going to say, but that's all right. Yes. He said about becoming a martyr. A martyr. Haven't we read about the martyrs and almost felt proud? But he said, you know what a martyr is? A present day martyr. It's like Paul. He says, I bring this body under subjection. I die daily. That's a martyr. I die daily. I crucify the flesh. You want to be a martyr? Kill the flesh! Not with stones and clubs, but by self-denial, by taking up his cross and following him. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. Every one of you, in this congregation and every one of you right here, if you see me slipping, you're my enemy. If you don't come say, now Kershaw, you know better. I want to tell you something else. I'm fixing to shut my mouth. I'm having a hard time. I tell you something else.
We haven't been real friends to each other. We see somebody slipping and we keep our mouth shut. I want you to come tell me. Say, hey, I heard you preach at Alexandria. Was that a bunch of hot air or was that convictions? We're afraid somebody may not like us. So what? You're saving a soul. Hallelujah. We've got to be cut.
We've got to come to the place where it's such deep water.
Yeah, no one can help us but Him. And we've got to lift ourselves in praise. Ourself. I'm talking about ourself. I have to desire. I have to lift up myself in praising Him. Real beautiful worship. Because He said, if you draw nigh unto me, and He said, hey, I want nobody imitating this. This worship is only for me. No copies. Don't you make a bunch of stuff that's exactly like this and then go sell it to the people everywhere. This is holy. Your prayer life is holy. And if you do mess around, you're going to be cut off. If you're just an imitator, if you don't mean it from your heart, you're going to be cut off. And let me tell you something. It's because of God's mercy I've come this far. And I can blame what I've been taught and all that kind of stuff. I'm not even going to mention it. Because it rests on me. But something I promise you, something has happened to me. I promise you. And I know others. It's happening to all of us. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I want to live like He wants me to live. I want to give until there is no more to give. I want to love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want all of you preachers here, if you would, just come lay hands on me, will you? I want you to just help me that I will never lose my resolve and my determination.
Hallelujah, great God.
Hallelujah. Lord.